What if I told you that the solution to all the world's problems was found in a baby boy born 2,000 years ago in this dirty stable out in the Middle East, and his life was the reason everyone could have hope and salvation and freedom? That sounds like a strange story, right? Like if I were a non-believer and someone came and told me that that is where the solution to the world's problems were to be found, it would sound pretty strange and foolish. But that is the exact Christian hope, is that Jesus has come, that God in the flesh has come, and he was born in a manger as a baby, fully human, yet fully God. And that because this happened, because he took on humanity, that we can be united with him, and that, as the Bible says, the light has come into the world, that the true light has come into the world. This is the Christmas message. This is the Advent message. But it's a strange message. And I think what we find in the Advent season is that God's ways are higher than our ways, and they are often strange ways. We wouldn't have ever written the story like this, but this is the story that God has written. And as we come to our last week in this Advent series on this podcast, this is the finale, is that a baby is your hope. A baby is your hope. Jesus Christ, who came as a baby, everything is culminating in this event, and this is why we celebrate it. The first week we looked at how Jesus was the light coming into the world. He is the light to our darkness. The second week we looked at how he became fully human, becoming like us in every way, and he knows our pain. But this week we're simply just going to look at the Christmas story, that a baby has come into the world, and this baby is Jesus. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And in his birth is the hope, the consolation, and the comfort for all of humanity. And I really believe that. Well, hey, this is Cole, your host with the Through the Valley Podcast Advent Special. And we're in our last week of the year celebrating the Christmas season. The title of this episode is A Baby is Your Hope. Let's get into it. Hey, welcome back. This is Cole, your host with Through the Valley. And as always, we start this podcast with scripture. There's no place to go. I'll always say that. It's our guide. It's our light unto our feet. And so this week, we're back in Isaiah. We've been in Isaiah for the past 3 weeks, but I've really just come to a point of appreciating these prophecies that speak to Christ, spoken 700 years even before his birth. And it just goes to show you what I said earlier about God's ways are higher, and that's from Isaiah as well. God's ways are higher than our ways. God has a plan. He has a plan for the fullness of time, as Galatians says, to send Christ into the world. But also, because God is sovereign and in control of the world, he has a plan over our individual lives in this bigger story of redemption that he's writing. But the prophecy that we have today comes from Isaiah 7:14. I'm actually going to read the part that comes from Matthew when Matthew quotes this in his gospel. So Matthew 1:23 or Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, in the context of this prophecy 700 years ago, this would have sounded pretty strange, is that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and this son will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so, in a sense, God's presence would be within this boy. But as we know, looking at the grand span of time, that this prophecy has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And the Christmas story is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And this is good news, because think about it. This prophecy says that God will be with us, that his name will be Emmanuel, which in Hebrew literally just translates to God with us. That is the name of Jesus, that Jesus' story is one of God being with us. And we looked at that in week one when we looked at Jesus coming down and making his tent with us and dwelling with us. We looked at that in week two when Jesus fully became human and was made like us in every way. And we look at it this week in the sense that this son, whose name is Emmanuel, is none other than Jesus Christ, who has come into the world. I just want to turn your attention to Luke chapter 2, which really tells the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so we're going to add on to our scripture section here, but it's just so good. This is the classic Christmas chapters, Luke chapter 2. But I just want to point out a few things here. And so Luke chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 6, there was a decree that went out. Mary and Joseph needed to go be registered. And so Joseph and Mary go up from the town of Nazareth, and they go to Bethlehem. And this is to fulfill another prophecy, is that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And of course, Mary was a virgin, and she was betrothed to Joseph, but there was a problem because Mary had received the news from the angel Gabriel that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and she would conceive and bear a son. And Joseph found this out and wanted to divorce her quietly because of the shame that would have been associated with this. But Joseph received news from an angel as well that he was to stay with her and be faithful to God's plan in the midst of this. And so they're going up to Bethlehem, and we know this story, but I just want to point out verse 7 of chapter 2. So after they go up and the time has come for Mary to give birth, it says she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And I love that picture. You can just imagine it, right? This news that this baby would be the salvation for all of Israel and a light to the Gentiles. And Mary has just given birth, and she wraps him in some cloths and lays him in a manger because there's no room for him. There's no room for him in the inn. This picture, you can just imagine it, right? A little baby, a precious baby, himself being God. And she was staring at the face of God, as one song puts it. But he is in such a humble and lowly estate. And this is how Jesus came into our world. There was no place for him from the very beginning. But I find this to be just such a beautiful picture of our Savior. You know, in Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls, from gentle and lowly." Isn't this just that our Savior came into the world gentle and lowly, or as the Christmas hymn puts it, tender and mild? He didn't come as a king parading his glory, even though he had every right. But just as Philippians 2 says, he did not consider equality with God something to be taken advantage of, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And this is exactly what we see, and this is just how beautiful our Savior is that he, God, came as a baby, that he subjected himself to the lowest of positions, that even later is he would wash his disciples' feet. He would wash the dirty feet of the people he made, of sinners that he made, of people who rejected him, betrayed him. This is our God, and this is hope, is that the same God who created the stars came as a baby into our world. And he came to relate and to be with us, but to provide salvation for us, to provide hope and light and peace, to give him his very self to us. He's Emmanuel. This is good news, that God has come to you as a baby. And that sounds so strange, but it's true that God has come as a baby. And I think the proper response, and this should be the response for all of our life, not just the Christmas season, is that just as God came to us, we should then go to him. And we see this in the picture of the shepherds. So I just want to go down in chapter 2 and read this to you. It says that in this region, there were some shepherds out in the field, and an angel came to them and appeared to them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So the shepherds receive this news that a baby is their hope, right? It says that this baby who is born to you this day will be Christ the Lord. He will be the Savior, the Messiah, the one to whom all history points. Can you imagine the shepherd's response? They're like, a baby? What? What is this news? But the response is this in verse 15. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. And you can just picture the scene. They found the baby lying in a manger, in an animal trough. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The shepherd's response was to come to see this news that had taken place, to come to see this baby. They didn't know exactly why this baby was the Savior of the world, Christ the Lord, but they believed and they came. And this is true. James chapter 4 says that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. But this is in light of the fact that God has come to us first, that he has broken the barrier through Christ, that Christ is our great high priest, as we looked at last week, who intercedes for us. Because he died for us and lives, he intercedes for us always. And that he is the mediator between us and God, that we can come to God. And so our response this Christmas season should be like the shepherds, to run to this baby, to run to this hope of the world that was born in a manger, in a dirty animal trough, showing his humility and worship him. He doesn't need all the lights and the crowns and the treasures and the parades. He came this way to show us that he has come as our Savior. As your Savior, as my Savior, the one who would relate to us, a baby is your hope. And this is strange, but this is the exact point and maybe theme of the Christmas story, is that God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Right? Who could have imagined this? Who could have imagined that God himself would come into our world? But this has happened. So we just ask ourselves the question, do I know God's plan fully? And obviously the answer is no, we don't know it fully because we're limited. But I think this applies to our toughest seasons of life and our sufferings in a very powerful way. That if no one could have guessed what God was doing through Christ and bringing him into the world as a baby, if this was the mystery, as Paul puts it, that has now been disclosed for all time, then certainly God's wisdom and God's power and God's reasons for doing things in your individual life are beyond our comprehension. But we should find comfort in this mystery, right? If God knows all of time, if he knows the full plan of history, and certainly he has proven it by bringing Christ into the world, the Christ that was promised 700 years before his birth. If he has done that, as Romans 8:32 says, if God has sent his own son and given his own son for us, how will he not also, and listen to this, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The verse before that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So if God has made a way in all of time for all of humanity to come to him and accept him as Savior, he's in control of it all. How will he not also be in control of your life? But this is the fact that we have to grapple with, is that there are things in our life that don't make sense. There are things in our life that hurt. There are things in our life that we look back on and wonder, why would God, a good, loving God, ever allow that? And I think our hope has to be found in this baby that was born in Bethlehem. Just as strange as it was for the shepherds to come to this baby and know that this was the Savior, there are things that God does in our lives, even with pain and suffering, that are far outside our scope of understanding. There may be reasons and questions that you'll never know the answer to, of why God is doing something. But if you are in Christ, the news is that God is working it together for your good. God's plan is often through the strangest and the most backwards of ways. And so God in his power and might and in his glory can even turn the worst of human conditions, the worst of suffering for his glory. Now, we may not see the finality of this until Jesus returns, right? Our hope has to be also laid ahead in the fact that God will make everything right one day. But for now, we can rest in knowing that the same God who sent his Son into the world in the strangest of ways is working the most hurtful and the most painful things in our lives for good. And at the end of the day, Jesus came and he's with us and he is God with us. So at the end of the day, he is the God who sits with you and is with you in your pain and suffering. One thing that I just want to maybe bring up is that all these things that have happened maybe in your life or the pain and suffering that you face, or even just your weakness, right? If you face depression or anxiety, these weaknesses that we find in our human condition, God knows what he's doing with them. And even if it hurts, he is there with us. And I just want to go to this passage in 1 Corinthians 1 that really points this out, is that even in your weakness and suffering, even in your pain, that God knows what he's doing. Because Jesus was the prime example of that in coming to us in humility and in weakness. It says this in 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Paul is looking back, in a sense, to the life of Jesus. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. The cross is foolishness. Jesus' birth is foolishness to this world. How could God come to us? How could he die for our sins? It's foolish to the world. But God, didn't he do it? He chose what is foolish in the world. Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and resurrection to shame the wise. And so Paul is saying, Christian, consider your calling too. If Jesus came this way, if the message of the cross is foolishness, there are going to be things in your life that don't make sense. But yet God chose you. Not many of you were of noble birth, but he chose you. You may have gone through the worst of things. You may be the poorest person in the world. You may not even be wise according to worldly standards. You may be low and despised in the world, just as Jesus was. But God chose you. Even your weakness and your suffering and the times when you feel like you can't even be used by God, Paul says, consider your calling. God chose you. And this has its roots in Jesus, who came as a baby. A baby is your hope. So in this sense, as we look at the Christmas story this season, and you may be listening to this after Christmas, but the point is the same, is that Jesus came as a baby, lowly and despised, with no place to lay his head. But this is your Savior. Aren't there times when you feel low and despised? Aren't there times when you feel like you don't have a place in this world, that there's no room for you? Aren't there times where you feel dirty and like you're laying in an animal trough? Jesus came and he knows what that's like. He came as a baby. He came in weakness. He did not consider his equality with God something to be taken advantage of, but he came to show you that he is gentle and lowly in heart. So the response, like the shepherds, run to see this baby every day. Run to him as your hope. If God gave you his Son, how will he not also with him graciously give you all things? Through Christ, God has proven his great love for you, that he is for you because he came for you. He died for you. He loves you. So I hope as you meditate on these truths this Christmas season that you will remember, as strange as it sounds, that a baby is your hope. Let's hope together in this child, our Savior, Christ the Lord, as we walk through the valley of this life, as we await for the return of the God who came as a baby, but yet now reigns as the King over all of our lives. Amen. Well, I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll be off next week just because of the holidays, but at the end of the year, I may put out a little bonus episode. We've got some exciting stuff coming up next year, some guest interviews, getting new voices into the podcast, and even just exploring more in-depth depression and anxiety as we roll off the Christmas season. So really looking forward to what all we have going on. If you don't mind, just like, follow this podcast, share with your friends. It really means a lot to me just to get the word out to as many people as possible. If you have anybody that you feel would benefit from these podcasts or going back and listening to the first one with my story, just things like that, I'd really appreciate it. Really thankful for all of you guys, and let's continue celebrating the birth of Jesus in this season. All music in this podcast is provided by LES FM from pixabay.com, and you can support Through the Valley Podcast on Anchor or in the link in the description below.